Hey, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Interview. Today we have a fantastic writer, director, and colorist, which he did not put in his bio, but I did dig it out. Nathaniel Upshaw is here with his new short, Windward Spirits on Deadly Ground. I think I got it right.
That's correct.
All right, got one right this week. All right, that's good to hear. So, it gave me a lovely short, so I think we should start at the beginning. You like fantasy. Am I correct?
Yes and no. I actually didn't write this. I had a buddy of mine write this. In regards to fantasy itself, I'm a fan of Lord of the Rings and I'm a fan of Game of Thrones, but it's not my go-to. My go-to, funny enough, are dramas, like straight dramas, such as there's a movie called The Two Popes that was released on Netflix. That's a straight drama.
That's amazing.
And then it would also be romance, but not like romantic comedy. It would be dramatic romance, such as Amour, which was a Palme d'Or winner back in 2013 or 2012 by the director of Michael Haneke.
And I've seen both films.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so we're going to have to get into this. And why this short then, if that doesn't really your kind of thing?
So what happened with this short is a buddy of mine who is the creator and EP, his name is Rafael Zubizarreta, he wanted to create this world called Windward Spirits, which he had created when he was a young kid at like the age of 10 or 11, if I remember correctly. And 20 years later, he approaches me and says, hey, I want to make a Windward Spirits short film trilogy. And I was like, I told him the exact same thing that I just told you. It's not my thing. I enjoy watching them. They're just not my thing. So after he mentions this to me 20 years later, 1 year later, he comes back and he says, hey, I just made a short film and I want to go bigger. And I was shocked by that. I was like, holy crap, you pulled this off, because fantasy films, especially for a short film, are extremely expensive. We're talking well into the tens of thousands of dollars. That's no small money for sure for anybody. So he ends up telling me that he makes this film. It's the first in the trilogy that we have. It's called Windward Spirits, A New Ruler. He hits me up and he says, hey, can you edit a trailer for me? I edit the trailer for him, no problem. And then another year later, he says, I want to go bigger, but I want you to produce this for me, because producing this by myself, along with another person who just had zero experience into producing a film due to all the business affairs and legal legalities that come with it. He hit me up and he says, I know that you are well experienced in producing, so I want you to come aboard as producer for the second short film, and then we'll go from there. So we make the second short film called Windward Spirits, Blood Ties. And then, funny enough, 2 years later, he comes back and he says, hey, we have more money, I have a bigger budget, but this time I want you to produce and direct. And I was like, perfect, because I love to direct and I love to produce. If I could do them at the same time, I have this exceptional high that's not even funny. Like, I can go for days on days on days just doing these two jobs combined. So then Windward Spirits on Deadly Grounds came about, and I straight up said, if you want me to direct, then we're going to build a whole marketing scheme with it. Like, I want to run the entire operation. Of course, you have approval for everything. It's your baby. I just want to support you. But I want to show you how big we can make it with this little money that we have, even though it's still well into the tens of thousands of dollars, but it's not enough for a Game of Thrones type of thing or a Lord of the Rings type of thing. It's just super expensive for that stuff. So over the course of 8 months, starting in February, we launched an Indiegogo campaign. We raised $17,500. Our target goal was $35,000. A few months later, we end up finding some private donors. We raised the full $35,000, all the while slowly building out the team, as far as the cast was already set, but as far as all the below-the-line crew, like the cinematographer, the gaffer, the key grip, the production designer, the art director, all that stuff. Then we jump into building a website, which I ended up creating. That was very difficult. I had fun, but super difficult. And then we go into building cast and BTS stuff. I ended up creating a template for film posters, and then Raphael, who's the creator, ended up hiring a photographer to literally just push the shutter button as I'm conducting cast interviews. While that's happening, there's a lot going on. While that's happening, we have my buddy who wrote it, his name is Seth Wimmer, and he's going back and forth with us while we're doing the whole marketing stuff to prepare for it. He's coming up with the story, and then we finally plan this out, all logistics, all operations, all employees, payroll, workers' comp, you name it. Everything is running full steam ahead 2 months prior to actual shoot. And then the principal photography for the actual shoot was over the course of 3 days. And holy crap, it was an insane 3 days. We're talking sandstorms. We're talking the gear truck not having the correct fuel and almost blowing up the engine. It was just, we're talking cliff sides, cliffside views. It was epic stuff.
Wow. Do I have any questions I have to answer? I think you covered everything. No, I have lots of questions. I'm just bugging you. I got a question right off the beginning of the film. Like, I mean, as a viewer who's not seen the first two parts of this, I have no idea what I'm going into.
Perfect.
I wrote a native feel. Was it supposed to be very spiritual at the beginning? Like he's a medicine man?
Are you talking about the female character at the beginning that we were introduced to, like our first shot there? Or are you talking about her significant other?
Significant other, I would probably say.
Her significant other is a merchant.
Okay, then maybe I mean her. Is she in a tent?
Yes. So you're talking about her.
Okay, sorry. I know what I'm talking about. So.
Yes. You are correct. So she is like a soothsayer, witch type of woman, black magic witch type of woman who foresees what will happen later on. Yeah.
Because I definitely got a native vibe off that, but I didn't feel I had a native vibe any other time during the film. So is each character supposed to be individualistic? So it's supposed to be like Dungeons and Dragons role playing?
Correct.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm dropped in here, so I'm kind of like, okay, I need a little bit more going on. I don't know.
Yes, yeah, no, I totally understand. the beauty of that is the other two, we have an exclusive deal on a platform called OP Prime TV. So this was one that I can actually show you.
Okay, great. No problem at all. That's why I'm just asking for people that may be dropping in to see this, going, what's going on?
Totally understandable.
Okay, you had 3 days to shoot this. So how much time do you spend on set design?
Over the course of 8 months, literally. This would be perfect to have my PD, my production designer, Kelby, jump in on this because she'd be able to go through every little detail over the course of 8 months. But essentially, so what happened is me, my production designer, and my cinematographer, we had sushi, and we just started discussing initial looks. There was no set style for this film. It was just more so to show a bigger world in this vast landscape that we have with this set.
So
after that initial meeting, I literally just had to come up with a lookbook and then a treatment, which would then detail what type of tents. Because she was thinking at first, oh, let's build like almost like a carnival tent, you know, like this massive tent. But the story took place where they're already traveling.
Yeah.
So that's when I had to say, no, we can't build something huge since they're traveling. Since these characters are traveling, they would have to have things on their back.
Absolutely.
Essentially, stuff to drop and go. So that's where the whole like lean-to makeshift tents came about in the film.
So, wait, is she doing costume design or just a set prep?
No, she was doing both.
Okay, so she knew what she was getting into then.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, so who did your costuming? You obviously have a seamstress or some kind.
So the costume designer came about on the first one, and Raphael found her. I forget how, because this woman is amazing. It took her 2 months to design all of the main characters' costumes that you see. But In addition to that, it took her another, I think it was another month at most, to create about 20 to 25 extras for the ending scene in the settlement part.
Now, do you find when you're working with something that's pre-existing, you find it harder as a director because you've got a suit with a style that's already previously been shot?
Yes and no. That's for sure. It depends on who's at the helm. So in this case, since it's my buddy's film, I had showed him my treatment that I created, the detailed treatment where it has like the characters and how I see that the story is going for these characters, the initial look for these lean-tos that I mentioned to you earlier, how things will be shot. And then I had put that side by side with the previous two films. I was like, this is how we can make it bigger. So it's literally up to him for the approval, since he's the one that's created and he's my EP. I personally can adapt to any style. It's just I need to know how big I can go or how small I have to go.
Where is this shot, by the way?
This is shot in three different places. This is shot in Lucerne, California, which is I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. It's
nope.
Like 2 hours. Okay. Do you know the Mojave Desert?
Yes.
So it's like 2 hours, hour and a half to 2 hours southeast. If you go to Vegas from California, like from Los Angeles, and you go to Vegas, it is on the way up about 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Okay.
So that's one location. The other two locations are Crestline, California, which is about like 30 minutes west of Big Bear.
Okay, I know where Big Bear is.
Yeah, so it's about 30 minutes west on the same mountain. It's just the closest one to an actual city, or the closest one to LA City. And then we shot in between Lucerne and Crestline in a place called Hesperia, to be more specific, at a place called Silver Lake, if I'm not mistaken, or Dry Silver Lake.
Oh my God, I only know where Silver Lake is because that film that came out this year.
Yeah.
That's sort of why I know where Silver Lake is because I looked it up. Now, before you go to shoot, it looks like you did some action practice. I definitely thought you guys blocked things out. I can see it shot. So how long did that take to do all that?
That, if I remember correctly, that was 4 days. So we did it in like two hour sessions over the course of 4 days. And the first day, of course, was just initial choreography to figure out how that fight was going to work out. And then over the next 2 days out of the four, would be where do we place certain people, like how do we finalize this stuff, and then are there any character motivations that we can improve upon, as well as safety for the actors themselves. And then on the final day, that was all camera rehearsal, like entirely camera rehearsal for a full 2 hours, trying to figure out how to link shots to shots, or if we, at one point, we thought of creating one long shot, but that would have we ended up realizing that would have just taken too long. Funny enough, when it came to shooting time out on set, the way that we wanted to shoot went out the door. The choreography stayed the same. The choreography was still perfect, still stayed the same, but we were so pressed for time due to everything before that. All we had, if I remember correctly, we had 30 minutes to shoot an entire fight scene. And so literally, my cinematographer and I, we had a two camera setup. So my cinematographer and I, we had the B camera team on a slider, if I remember correctly. We had it on a slider going back and forth, literally just lateral movement. And then me and my DP went out with the A cam and jumped into the fight scene and just started catching anything that we could for 30 minutes because we were on a time crunch.
Do you feel the short, I mean, the running length time took away from what you wanted to do in the fight scene?
Oh, very much so. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of difficult to say, but it's entirely fact. The fight scene in the film is probably one of the weakest points in that entire film.
Yeah, I could see that. I felt bad for you because I thought you were, because it sort of just ends.
Yes.
And I'm like, he probably wants another 5 minutes here. Like, I could definitely see a five-minute chunk being added just to give me some more explanation and things, which I know you don't have time for.
Correct. What we wanted was we wanted this monster to literally explode out of a tent from the darkness.
Aha. Okay, that's what I was looking for. There we go.
Yeah. That's what you see set up. But since we were so pressed for time for 30 minutes, in the edit, I had to figure out a way to craft this little bit to mold the story somehow. So literally, I just used commercials. I use the commercial technique, which is what which is the majority of commercials. You just take VO and then you put images together and then you're done.
I can see that. So, and you're pretty much in charge of everything. I mean, you're the line producer, you're the director, you're the producer. How do you do your catering? Like, do you even have time to organize your catering, or is that you have that obviously prepped?
So, fortunately for this, there was three producers in total. I was not the one that took care of catering. I was the one that took care of operations when it came to crew. Okay. So when it came to crew and equipment. So we had another producer named Pete Freeland, and then he took care of all catering as well as location permits. It was just up to me to go scout the locations and then to decide whether or not this would be great, and then send that up to Raphael for him to approve. So it was a cool little three-hand team. It worked out, but yeah, that would have been way too much at that point.
Is one of your goals to be the guy in charge of everything at one point? Writing,
no.
Producing, editing, the whole nine yards?
No. My ultimate goal was just to direct and produce. I'm not the best writer. I can give some bones for a story, but I can give some bones for a story, which is what we did when we hired my buddy Seth to write the story out. Okay. When it comes to editing, I've been editing for nearly a decade, so 8 years now, and then I've been in the business for a whole 10 years. For the last 2 years, that's when I transitioned more into directing and producing.
Fair enough. Do you guys use CGI? I was trying to figure out if they're practical effects or CGI. I definitely noticed CGI stitching, I would argue.
The only CGI in the whole thing is the two fire shots at the end.
Okay.
The very last scene, there's two shots where the main guard is holding a torch.
Yes.
So that's CGI. Literally everything else is not.
So that's for all practical effects, the monster and everything?
Everything's practical effects.
Okay, then we got to go into that a bit more. How is shooting for practical effects in this? That monster scene must take you a few minutes.
The monster scene was a fight scene.
Yeah.
So that was all... Go ahead.
Go ahead. You tell me. I want to hear it.
No. So the monster scene is literally the fight scene.
Yeah.
There's pretty much nothing else to that. So we literally had 30 minutes to grab every little thing that we could involved with that scene. So anything that has the monster, 30 yes. minutes.
But at the beginning, there's something coming under a tent right at the beginning of the film.
Yes.
That's
him coming out.
And that's practical. I would have argued that was CGI. I was wondering if that was CGI effect or not.
No, that's all practical. That's thanks to the costume designer, and that's also thanks to Raphael, who had initial drawings of this monster. And he just sent the sketch out to Sylvia, the costume designer. And then, if I'm not mistaken, that was part of the last month when she was building out all the extras costume. She was building that out.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, how did you add music to your film? I mean, being the director, do you know where you're going to drop your music, or do you have to put that in the editing stage? You haven't even looked at music yet.
No. For this particular film, I had to make sure everything was planned out because it's a high fantasy film. So there's a lot going on. There's more logistics. There's a bigger operation that's needed due to it being so detailed, because fantasy films are period pieces. So everything has to be correct. For this film, I had hired a hip hop producer, and I asked him, "Hey, can you make some sort of title trigger music that'll show the scope and breadth of this film?" Not a joke. 2 days later, he sends me a track, and then we're good to go.
Oh wow, that's quick. That's a really quick turnaround.
Oh yeah.
Now,
for the sorry.
Go. You keep
just
going.
Add real quick. just to add real quick, before the overall music, for the overall score, that was literally just musicbed.com. Because the way it was written was to have a somber tone. So all I had to do was just find something really quick off a music site, because we wouldn't have a composer to having a composer would have been too expensive. So I just needed something really quick off a music site such as Musicbed, which is what we used. Find the somber tone, slide it in, we're good to go.
Since you're the first colorist ever on my show, what does a colorist do? Correct color?
That is literally it.
Okay.
There's nothing to do. So typically when things are shot, they're shot flat, meaning not grayscale. Grayscale is black and white. So it means the saturation, essentially. Okay. Like that's a loose term for it, because saturation is not, or desaturation is not, but it's just to give you an idea what it is. So you're just trying to remove as much color, but yet have it still properly exposed so that when you do go into coloring, you can have a, what's a better way to say this? You can have an easier time to color, or essentially put all the correct coloring information. Like, it's kind of weird to say.
No, I understand. It's fine. I'm putting you on the spot a bit. Now,
no, you're fine.
Since you're kind of like a work-for-hire kind of guy, when you leave a project, you just sort of go, I'm done with it and move on to the next thing, or do you always have a soft spot for it in your art?
No, I always have a soft spot for the majority of my projects in my heart. With this one, especially because it was 8 months of prep, and then I had, like, I literally had built the marketing campaign, I had built the BTS stuff. If you were to see the other two films, and you compare it to this one, completely different show. Like, completely different look. It just gives a broader scope to the whole story that Raphael wanted. Because my buddy Raphael wanted, like, bigger scope on a small budget. Me, personally, I felt that the other two weren't there. They were just so finite, which is fine, but it wasn't giving the breadth that it needed. So then this came up, and then we just... both Raphael went back and forth, and we revamped the whole thing and then just made it bigger, which is what you feel.
Okay. You've mentioned marketing twice, and it's Raphael's film, not really your film. So what marketing are you doing for his film then?
So this was all for, the Indiegogo campaign as well as for the website.
Okay.
So all the marketing that we did was to build up for the Indiegogo campaign, which is what ended up helping out with the entire budget.
Okay. See, you don't think I listen to you. I really do. Okay. Now, I have nothing else. I'm sorry. It's only a 17-minute short, so I think we've fleshed it out pretty good.
Okay.
But I do have three fun questions for you.
Please do.
Your favorite film, because it's your first time on the show.
Favorite film of all time? I'll give you my three favorite films of all time. First one I had mentioned earlier, which is Amour by Michael Haneke.
That's like it's a 3 years old.
What's that?
That's new. That's like a nice new film.
Oh, a new favorite film? I don't really watch many films. It's funny thing is I get tired of watching fiction films, and I like watching more stand-up and documentaries.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so favorite film of all time would have to be Amour. And then after that, it would be... The American by Anton Corbin, and then after that, it would be My Darling Clementine by John Ford.
Oh, wow, the one I hadn't seen in your list. I've never seen My Darling Clementine. I will get to it one day. One of the few old westerns I haven't seen, I'm supposed to.
Beautiful film. It's not even a gunslinger film. At the end, there's a gunslinging moment. There's a crowd shootout, but the majority of it is not that at all.
Yeah, I've seen it on many lists. I don't know why I haven't watched it. The one film that made you want to be a director...
I don't think I have one, to be honest.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't think I have one. I just always was fascinated by... I don't have a film. It's a person.
Fair enough.
I should say it's a style. It's a person's style of movies. And that would be Stanley Kubrick. Just because the way he makes his films are so observant.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really it. Like, he's not intrusive with all his stories. you're seeing everything from a like kind of like a bird's eye view, but at the same time, you are close enough to the characters to where you feel their emotions. And I mean, for me, bro, I tear up easy in movies. So when I was watching Eyes Wide Shut and Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise, you know, technically just broke up, or he goes out to have his orgy, I'm like, holy crap, what are you doing? What are you doing, buddy? And then Barry Lyndon's a great film, but probably out of all his work that really made me want to jump into it, that would have to be, oh my God, I want to say The Killing. I was going to say Killer's Kiss, but The Killing, money heist.
Just watched it today, and I'm not joking with you. I just finished it today.
Yes.
Love it.
Beautiful money heist film.
Absolutely. Here's a new question that I've never asked anybody on the show. Are DVDs dead?
Yes.
Okay. I agree with you.
Blu-rays would be the next thing, but even then, I don't even have – I have Blu-rays, and the only Blu-ray that I consistently watch is the same film that I mentioned earlier. It's on More. I watch that once a year every year.
Well, thank
you. Outside of that, it's all download. It's all video on demand.
Okay. Before you go, tell everybody where your website is and what they can find there.
Website is NathanielUpshaw.com. You'll find not my most recent films. You'll find some older work as I have some stuff coming up. I had just finished a short yesterday, a dark comedy. That'll be on my website. And other than that, you'll just have to catch me on Facebook and Instagram. Instagram stories mainly.
And where can they watch this film? You didn't tell them.
Dead Ringer. So Dead Ringer is the short film from yesterday. Are you talking about the new one, or are you talking about Winter Spirits?
Winter Spirits, what we're talking about.
My bad. So in order to watch Winter Spirits, you have to sign up for the platform called OP Prime TV. And then on that platform, you'll be able to see all three Winter Spirits films, the Winter Spirits trilogy, which will be Winter Spirits A New Ruler, and then Winter Spirits Blood Ties, and then Winter Spirits On Deadly Grounds, which is the one that I directed.
Excellent. Thank you for your time. Have a great night.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Later.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page. Thank you.